Sabbath blessings, everyone. Does my mic sound okay before we start? Amen, amen. For those on the remnant that do not know, Brother Nick lost his dad yesterday. And Brother Nick, we're with you in thoughts and in prayers. And we understand what you're going through. Everyone is going to go through that until the Lord returns. And we understand. If we can open up with prayer before we start the study. If you will kneel or bow your hearts. Lord God, Jesus Christ, God, you're just so amazing. Your knowledge is just unfathomable to us as mere humans, that there is no conscience that we can even think of that can equal you. Lord, your wisdom is, and your direction for the remnant and for everyone in this world, your mighty plan is coming into action. We know time is short, and we have a job to do. Lord, I'm reminded of this verse. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. In this day and time, with Christianity, just all kinds of Christianity abounding, that is true. That when you smite the leader, that the congregation just falls apart. But Lord, you have blessed this little remnant of people that when it comes time, and for one reason or another, that our leader can't be with us, 5, 6, 7, upwards of tens come in and lead and continue the work, the mighty work that you have us do. Lord, it's unprecedented. Your grace and your glory that is given to us abounds, and it shows. And we are so, so thankful for this, Lord. We offer our prayers for Nick, his family, all his loved ones in this time. And I know, Brother Nick, you're with us, and God has got a work for all of us to do, and we're stepping up to the plate. I also have just a couple of prayers to offer up. And for Graham J., she has an urgent request. My daughter was moved to tears when she realized her rebellion has been keeping her from helping her husband and turn to the Lord. Pray for both of them and also their children. And we thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand in moving her to where she understands and that she sees and that she's convicted. And that she turns and praises you, Lord, praises you in prayer and glory. I'm also have a prayer for TK for the healing of his pink eye. Lord, we know you are the ultimate healer, and through faith that moves mountains and prayers that go up to the heavens, we know that your mighty hand will move, and we offer up this prayer for him. Lord, as we go through this day, I ask that you guide each one of us, that your words are spoken, and that our tongues are bridled so that only you and you alone are glorified. And we offer these prayers up to you, Jesus Christ, in your name. Amen. Okay, as we get ready to do the studies, I did get some requests for some help from several folks that would like to participate in the readings, and thank you, Lord, for that. As my bubble disappears, just put up another bubble and continue the awesome work that God has for us to do. We're in Chapter 5, Healing of the Soul. Many of those who came to Christ for help had brought disease upon themselves, yet he did not refuse to heal them. And when virtue from him entered into these souls, they were convicted of sin, and many were healed of their spiritual disease as well as of their physical maladies. Among these was the paralytic at Capernaum. Like the leper, this paralytic had lost all hope of recovery. His disease was the result of a sinful life, and his sufferings were embittered by remorse. In vain, he had appealed to the Pharisees and the doctors for relief. They pronounced him incurable. They denounced him as a sinner and declared that he would die under the wrath of God. If someone can help me on this, the MH73.2, what does MH stand for? Okay, thank you, Brother Guerin. Ministry of Healing, thank you very much. The palsied man had sunk into despair. Then he heard the words of Jesus. Others, as sinful and helpless as he, had been healed, and he was encouraged to believe that he, too, might be cured if he could be carried to the Savior. But hope fell as he remembered the cause of his malady, yet he could not cast away the possibility of healing. And this is in Ministry of Healing, 73.3. His great desire was relief from the burden of sin. He longed to see Jesus and receive the assurance of forgiveness and peace with heaven. Then he would be content to live or to die according to God's will. And this is in Ministry of Healing, 74.1. There was no time to lose. Already his wasted flesh bore signs of death. He besought his friends to carry him on his bed to Jesus, and this they gladly undertook to do. But so dense was the crowd that had assembled in and about the house where the Savior was that it was impossible for the sick man and his friends to reach him or even to come within hearing of his voice. Jesus was teaching in the home of Peter. According to their custom, his disciples sat close about him, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by who were come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 17, ARV. Many of these had come as spies seeking an accusation against Jesus. Beyond these thronged a promiscuous multitude, the eager, the reverent, the curious, and the unbelieving. Different nationalities and all grades of society were present. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. In verse 17, the spirit of life brooded over the assembly, but Pharisees and doctors did not discern his presence. They felt no sense of need, and the healing was not for them. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. And this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 53, and references Ministry of Healing 74.2. Again and again, the bearers of the paralytic tried to push their way through the crowd, but in vain. The sick man looked about him in unutterable anguish. How could he relinquish hope when the longed for help was so near? At his suggestion, his friends bore him to the top of the house and, breaking up the roof, let him down at the feet of Jesus. Wow, what faith. Amazing. This is in Ministry of Healing, 75.1. The discourse was interrupted. The Savior looked upon the mournful countenance and saw the pleading eyes fixed upon him. Well he knew the longing of that burdened soul. It was Christ who had brought conviction to his conscience when he was yet at home, when he repented of his sins and believed in the power of Jesus to make him whole. The mercy of the Savior had blessed his heart. Jesus had watched the first glimmer of faith grow into a conviction that he was the sinner's only helper, and had seen it grow stronger in every effort to come into his presence. He was Christ who had drawn the sufferer to himself. Now, in words that fell like music on a listener's ears, the Savior said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." This is in Matthew 9:2, Ministry of Healing 75.2.
May I read? Sabbath blessings off. The burden of guilt rolls from the sick man's soul. He cannot doubt. Christ's words reveal his power to read the heart. Who can deny his power to forgive sins? Hope takes the place of despair and joy of oppressive gloom. The man's physical pain is gone and his whole being is transformed. Making no further request, he lay in peaceful silence, too happy for words. Ministry of Healing 76.1. Many were watching with breathless interest every moment in this strange transaction. Many felt that Christ's words were an invitation to them. Were they not soul sick because of sin? Were they not anxious to be freed from this burden? And we're just wearing Ministry of Healing, so just keep track. But the Pharisees, fearful of losing their influence with the multitude, said in their hearts, "He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but one, even God?" Mark 2:7, Revised Version. Fixing his glance upon them, beneath which they cowered and drew back, Jesus said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk,' but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said, turning to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go in unto thine house." Matthew 9, verses 4 to 6. Then he who had been born on a litter to Jesus rose to his feet with the elasticity and strength of youth, and immediately he took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." It required nothing less than creative power to restore health to that decaying body. The same voice that spoke life to man created from the depths of the earth has spoken life to the dying paralytic. And the same power that gave life to the body had renewed the heart. He who at creation spake, and it was, who commanded and stood fast. Psalm 33:9. It had spoken life to the soul dead in trespasses and sins. The healing of the body was an evidence of the power that had renewed the heart. Christ bade the paralytic arise and walk, that ye may know, he said, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Amen.
The paralytic found in Christ's healing for both the soul and the body. He needed health of soul before he could appreciate health of body. Before the physical malady could be healed, Christ must bring relief to the mind and cleanse the soul from sin. This lesson should not be overlooked. There are today thousands suffering from physical disease who, like the paralytic, are longing for the message that sins are forgiven. The burden of sin, with its unrest and unsatisfied desires, is the foundation of their maladies. They can find no relief until they come to the healer of the soul. The peace which he alone can impart would restore vigor to the mind and health to the body. The effect produced upon the people by the healing of the paralytic was as if heaven had opened and revealed the glories of the better world. As the man who had been cured passed through the throng, blessing God at every step and bearing his burden as if it were a feather's weight, the people fell back to give him room, and with awe-stricken faces gazed upon him, whispering softly among themselves, "We have seen strange things today." Luke 5:26. In the home of the paralytic, there was great rejoicing when he returned to his family, carrying with ease the couch upon which he had been slowly borne from their presence but a short time before. They gathered round with tears of joy, hardly daring to believe their eyes. He stood before them in full vigor of manhood. Those arms that they had seen lifeless were quick to obey his will. The flesh that had been shrunken and laden hues was now fresh and ready. He walked with a firm, free step. Joy and hope were written in every lineament of his countenance, and an expression of purity and peace had taken the place of the marks of sin and suffering. Glad thanksgiving went up from that home, and God was glorified through his Son, who had restored hope to the hopeless and strength to the stricken one. This man and his family were ready to lay down their lives for Jesus. No doubt dimmed their faith, no unbelief marred their fealty to him who had brought light into their darkened home. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, for he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Psalm 103:1-14. Can you guys hear me okay?
Okay. Wilt thou be made whole? Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water, John 5:2-3. At certain seasons, the water of the pool were agitated, and it was commonly believed that this was the result of supernatural power, and that whoever first at the troubling of the pool stepped into the waters will be healed of whatsoever disease he might have. Hundreds of sufferers visited the place, but so great was the crowd when the water was troubled that they rushed forward, trampling underfoot men, women, and children, weaker than themselves. Many could not get near the pool. Many who had succeeded in reaching it died upon its banks. Shelters had been erected about the place that the sick might be protected from the heat by the day and the chilliness of the night. There were some who spent the night in these porches, creeping to the edge of the pool day after day in the vain hope of relief. Ministry of Healing 81.2. Jesus was at Jerusalem, walking alone in apparent meditation and prayer. He came to the pool. We are at Ministry of Healing 81.3, page 81. He was the wretched sufferer watching for that which they supposed to be their only chance of cure. He longed to exercise his healing power and make every sufferer whole, but it was a Sabbath day. Multitudes were going to the temple for worship, and he knew that such an act of healing would so excite the prejudice of the Jews as to cut short his work.
But the Savior saw one case of supreme wretchedness. It was that of a man who had been a helpless cripple for 38 years. His disease was in a great degree the result of his own evil habits and was looked upon as a judgment from God. Alone and friendless, feeling that he was shut out from God's mercy, the sufferer had passed long years of misery. At a time when it was expected that the water would be troubled, those who pitied his helplessness would bear him to the porches. But at the favored moment, he had no one to help him in. He had seen the rippling of the water, but had never been able to get farther than the edge of the pool. Others stronger than he would plunge in before him. The poor, helpless sufferer was unable to contend successfully with a scrambling, selfish crowd. His persistent efforts toward the one object and his anxiety and continual disappointment were fast wearing away the remnant of his strength. The sick man was lying on his mat and occasionally lifting his head to gaze at the pool when a tender, compassionate face bent over him and the words, "Wilt thou be made whole?" arrested his attention. Hope came to his heart. He felt that in some way he was to help, but the glow of encouragement soon faded. He remembered how often he had tried to reach the pool, and now he had little prospect of living till it should again be troubled. He turned away wearily, saying, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus bids him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Verses 6 and 8. With a new hope, the sick man looks upon Jesus. The expression of his countenance, the tones of his voice are like no other. Love and power seem to breathe in his very presence. The cripple's faith takes hold upon Christ's word. Without question, he sets his will to obey, and as he does this, his whole body responds. Every nerve and muscle thrills with new life, and helpful action comes to his crippled limbs. Springing to his feet, he goes on his way with firm, free step, praising God and rejoicing in his newfound strength. Amen.
Jesus had given the palsied man no assurance of divine help. The man might have said, "Lord, if thou wilt make me whole, I will obey thy word." He might have stopped not to doubt, and thus have lost his one chance of healing. But no, he believed in Christ's word, believed that he was made whole immediately. He made the effort, and God gave him the power. He will walk, he willed to walk, and he did walk. Acting on the word of God, he was made whole. By sin, we have been severed from the life of God, our soul or person. Of ourselves, we are no more capable of living a holy life than was the important man capable of walking. Many realize their helplessness. They are longing for that spiritual life which will bring them into harmony with God and are striving to obtain it. But in vain, in despair, they cry, "Who wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Romans 7, verse 24. Margin. Let these desponding struggle once look up. The Savior is bending over the purchase of his blood, saying, with inexpressible tenderness and pity, "You shall be made whole. He bid you arise in health and peace. Do not wait to feel that you are made whole. Believe the Savior's word. Put your will on the side of Christ. Will to serve him. And in acting upon his word, you will receive strength. Whatsoever may be the evil practice, the master passion, which through long indulgence binds both soul and body, Christ is able and long to deliver. He will impart life to the soul that is dead in trespasses." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "He will set free the captive that is held by weakness and misfortune and the chains of sin. The sense of sin has poisoned the spring of life, but Christ says, 'I will take your sin. I will give you peace. I have brought you with my blood. You are mine. My grace shall strengthen your weakening will. Your remorse for sin I will remove. When temptation assailed you, when care and perplexity surrounded you, when depressed and discouraged, you are ready to yield to despair. Look to Jesus and the darkness that encompasses you could be dispelled by bright shining of his presence. When sin struggles for the mystery in your soul and burdens the consciousness, look to the Savior. His grace is sufficient to subdue sin. Let your grateful heart, trembling with uncertainty, turn to him. Lay hold on the hope set before you. Christ waits to adopt you into his family. His strength will help your weakness. He will lead you step by step. Place your hand in his and let him guide you." Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and read one more sentence, and then we'll mark that page for next time. "Never feel that Christ is far away. He is always near. His loving presence surrounds you. Seek him as one who desires to be found of you. He desires you not only to touch his garments, but to walk with him in constant communion." Thank you, Lord, for the study today. Amen.
Peace, perfect peace, is the gift of Christ our